Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled, No One Ever Spoke the Way This Man Does. Thank you to Rhonda, Don, and Paul for being part of the video. The scripture reading is John 7, 37 to 46. Rhonda will read it as part of the welcome.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning to those who are here, and good morning to those of you who are listening online. Happy birthday today to Jesse. Some of you will remember Jesse, him and his mom Amy and his sister, where Sister Carolyn lived here for quite a while, and Jesse's now living in Montreal, and I know that he's watching this online, and we wish you a happy birthday, Jesse, and we miss you and your family here. Some of you may know that Diane was scheduled to go to visit her family this week in New Brunswick, and while she was packing, and she fell and she broke her hip. And so that's pretty sad for her. She had surgery on Friday and is recuperating in St. Catherine's Hospital. Dear God in heaven, thank you that we have the privilege of worshiping you and that we have the privilege of worshiping you together. And we pray that we will worship you with our entire soul, with our entire mind, with our entire intellect, with our entire body, and that this will be a time for oneness with you. And thank you, God, for each other, and thank you for the encouragement that we get from the other people who are here and from the way that people just keep on keeping on, even when they have struggles and trials. And thank you for the encouragement that brings to us. And we pray for Diane, especially right now, and we pray that you will give her the strength that she needs to continue to love you and continue to be who she is and to be what she is to us. And we pray, God, for people who are also sick spiritually, and that's all of us. We pray that we as a people and we as the people that we love and the people that we don't know, that we'll all come closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to read from John 7, 37 to 46. On the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "Whoever is thirsty should come to me, and whoever believes in me should drink. As the scripture said, streams of life-giving water will pour out from his side." Jesus said this about the Spirit, which those who believed in him were going to receive. At that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus had not yet been raised to glory. Some of the people in the crowd heard him say this and said, "This man is really a prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." But others said, "The Messiah will not come from Galilee. The scripture says that the Messiah will be descended of the King of David and will be born in Bethlehem, the town where David lived." So there was a division in the crowd because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid hands on him. Then the guards went back. The chief priests and Pharisees asked them, The Pharisees asked them, "Why did you not bring him?" The guards answered, "Nobody has ever talked the way this man does." And we're going to have the privilege this morning of watching a video from another church, which is always a delight, but this is a special delight because we're going to watch a video of Max Donner in Marseille, France, who our church has supported for many years. And most of you probably know that he has been working in France for 50 years. And this is a video showing the service that they had or what they did in his honor. And this is based on a YouTube video that they put on of their service, and Adam has done a voiceover of this so that we can have a translation of this into English for those of us who aren't fluent in French rather.
Um,
There's someone who, I'm not sure if you know him. I'll give you a little bit of history. He's someone who came to France exactly 50 years ago. He was a young man. In 1900, yeah, 1971, and he's been in France for 50 years now. I'm going to ask you to stand up at the front because it's you who we're talking about. So, just to say, you've been in France now for 50 years and in French-speaking Europe. You serve the Lord, and you don't like big speeches or a lot of applause. Above all, we want to show you as a church our gratitude for you teaching us, for all the time you devoted to the Lord among us and others. People all around the world share this recognition and have received a lot from you, from knowing you. And we were the first. So that's why we wanted to thank you in the name of the Lord for being among us. And we all hope to be able to one day say, it's been 50 years that I've served the Lord. Maybe for the youngest. You've been an example for everyone, and for that we want to thank you. Do you want a sermon? You knew it might have been a sermon. I could never have imagined... No, it's not going to be a sermon. I couldn't imagine a greater blessing than working in this community, which has given me so much. It's true, I've been in France for 50 years, and I hope that God will give me another 50. But the time He will give me, I hope, will advance us in our faith, and spread the gospel. There is no greater mission on earth. Oh, you can come back. Usually, it's you who gives a prayer for people we send on mission, and we want to be able to return the favor. It's a little ironic, because it'll have to be someone younger, and they can't send you on a mission because you're already there. And you were there before him. But we want to be able to hand over to the Lord the years of missions you still have ahead, and we're grateful for the first 50. With this prayer, we would like to offer, on behalf of all of us, and from Christians who are far off in the world, a small gift, and everything we can't say into a microphone. Not surprisingly, I'm surprised. So, everything we don't know how to tell you because we wouldn't have time this morning is written down in this book of people from all around the world who want to thank you. Justin, would you pray and thank the Lord? Let's pray together. Lord, your Son said to his apostles, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." The master of the vineyard sends workers to his harvest. We want to thank you, Lord, this morning for the workers who work, who give of their time and themselves in the service of your gospel. Especially today, we thank you for Max and for his 50 years in service to you. Many among us today know you now because they heard the gospel from Max. It's by your grace and the name of your Son that we are children today. Thank you for this blessing to know you and to have by our side brothers and sisters who are examples for us and encouragement for our faith. It's in the name of your Son that we pray to you. Amen.
The purpose of the Gospel of John is stated very clearly in his book. He writes these words: "This book, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." It was true 2,000 years ago, and it's still true and as relevant today. All the New Testament writers reflect the words of Jesus. And the question would be, why? Why would someone set months and years aside to write about the words of Jesus? And I think the answer is because Jesus gives salvation words. He gives "here's how to live life" words. And no one did it better than Jesus. And he practiced those words that he preached. And so years later, a person who at one time was an agnostic of Christ and becomes a wonderful writer of the gospel, Paul, of course, he writes to a church at Colossae who were struggling, and he reminds them of not only Christ, but why they were baptized into Christ. And I think now, 2,000 years later, it's a good reminder for us today that in baptism, we were buried with Christ, we were buried with him, and raised with him through our faith in the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. So whoever thought that we would be intimately involved with the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? And in our baptism, we are reminded that we're part of all of that. It's not just a symbol. It's this beautiful, amazing, wonderful relationship that we have with Christ. When two people come together to be married, and they're pronounced, "You're married. Congratulations." In our baptism, basically saying the same thing. When we give ourselves to Christ, our relationship change has taken place. Christ has always loved us. And now there's this reciprocal relationship. He loves us, and we return the favor. And so Paul says in baptism, you were buried with him and raised with him through your faith in the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. Since, therefore, you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things, for you have died, and your life itself has been hidden in Christ, who is in God, who is your life. So please never read scripture thinking that it's some old traditional thing that really isn't relevant for us today. No, listen, the words of Jesus are as relevant today as if we were standing in front of him and listening to what he was saying. It's remarkable that Christ lives in each one of us. Therefore, how do we live? So I love the story that was already read to us by Rhonda, that the temple guards were given a challenge, given an order, go out and arrest him. Jesus had been teaching, he had been preaching, he had been doing miracles, he'd been helping lots and lots of people, and the religious authorities of the day didn't like it. And they didn't bring him in. So in verse 45 of John 7, finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, "Why didn't you bring him in?" Speaking to the temple guards, it was the guards who were to go out and bring him in. "Why didn't you bring him in?" And the answer is amazing. "Because," he said, no one ever spoke the way this man does." These big temple guards who were charged to go and get him, they went to get him, and they came back. I would love to know what happened to those guards after all that. No one ever spoke the way Jesus spoke. So I just want to spend a couple of minutes today talking about a variety of things about how Jesus spoke. Because no one spoke about God the way Jesus spoke about God. We say John 3:16 is probably the most popular scripture in the Bible. It probably is. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." But probably the prayer of prayers, which we often call the Lord's Prayer, is still relevant today. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, if you possibly can, to just stand with me and let's all recite the Lord's Prayer together. You can just whisper if you wish, but let's say it. Let's pray. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Please be seated. Thank you. So you've just recited the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that's been prayed for generations after generations and after generations. And if God still remains not coming in our lifetime for the next several hundreds of years, that prayer will still be prayed. See, the words of Jesus were spoken some 2,000 years ago, and they're just as relevant today. The book of Hebrews says this in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. "For we do not have a high priest," talking about Jesus, "for we do not have a high priest who was unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Therefore, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." It's one of those scriptures that after we read it, and maybe a lot of turmoil has been happening in our life, that the result is just, there's a reason why the Holy Spirit is called the breath of life. Because when all of a sudden life is too profound, there comes a rest. "I'm with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." It's relevant. And even though the scriptures were written so many years ago, they're just as relevant today. God spoke about so many different things. Jesus spoke about so many different things in an incredible way. No one spoke of the interpretation of scripture the way Jesus spoke. In fact, in Matthew chapter 5, over and over and over again, here's what Jesus said. "You have heard it was said, but I say to you," he's not changing what was said. He is giving the interpretation of what is said. So when you read through Matthew chapter 5, all the way through, there's this constant comment made by Jesus after he's reciting scripture and he's discussing various events. He says, for example, I'll just give a couple of examples. In Matthew 5, in verse 21, "You have heard that it was said to people long ago, 'Do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment." In other words, he's saying, don't live legalistically, live the heart of Jesus. When it comes to oaths, "You have heard it was said to people long ago, 'Don't break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord.' But I tell you," Jesus said, "don't even keep an oath. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Let your word be what it's supposed to be. Don't try to wiggle around at all." And the reason that I say all of this is that the scripture, the main scripture that we're looking at today, where he says no one ever spoke the way Jesus spoke, is that when we look at Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Beatitudes, the teachings of Jesus, it is a reflection of God living inside of each one of us. In baptism, you were buried with him, you were buried with him and raised with him through your faith in him. It's just as relevant today. "Therefore, since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Set your minds on things above." This believing of Jesus is wonderful. The purpose of John's writing is clearly said. The things that were written in the past were written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that by believing that you may have life in his name. Well, it's interesting as well. Even though Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John sometimes tell the same stories, they don't always tell all the stories together. It's interesting how the words of Jesus were quite profound. No one spoke about women the way Jesus did. In Luke chapter 8, there's this wonderful passage of scripture, Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. It says, "After this, Jesus traveled from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary, called Mary Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Susa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their means." So even though we have apostles, we have disciples, many of the disciples were women. And in that time and generation, rabbis were not women, but women were taught by rabbis who then could teach others. So we have remarkable women, leaders in the church, various other scriptures talk about that, who were profoundly spiritual, scriptural, and could share the word of God. No one spoke about men the way Jesus did. No one spoke about women the way Jesus did. No one spoke about children the way Jesus did. Sometimes they think that children were getting in the way when you read through the Gospels, and Jesus said, no. Remember when it was said, "Let the children come to me," which is a remarkable story. Jesus didn't have to go to the children. The children came to him. Many times, I think it was the children who were leading the way. Many men would say,
I don't know. He's a good speaker, I guess. Maybe he's the Messiah. I don't know. Maybe that's how a lot of men said. Maybe certain women kind of felt the same way. And said, well, I'm not really interested. The children didn't say that. When Jesus was speaking, the children came to him. And somebody was trying to stop them. No, he said, let the children come to me. Nobody spoke the way Jesus did. And then Jesus knew what was in the heart of a man. In fact, the scripture says Jesus didn't have to be told what people were thinking, for he already knew what was in the heart of a man. And here's the story of a gentleman by the name of Thomas. And you may remember this story pretty well. In John chapter 20, beginning in verse 24, let me read it to you. Now Thomas, who was called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. This is after the death of Jesus and his resurrection, and Jesus appears. We have seen the Lord. And I guess I'm not reading it correctly because there's an exclamation point after that. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. Emphasis, exclamation point. But Thomas said to them, maybe something that we would have said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Thomas was basically saying, I doubt it. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side where the spear pierced him and where the nails pierced him. And even though it's not spoken in scripture, I think there should be a pause right there. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And I guess that's a good point today. Stop doubting and believe. My Lord and my God. And then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. And Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that by believing you may have life in his name. And that sermon is as relevant today as it was when he said it. Our faith in him brings us closer to him. No one spoke about children the way Jesus spoke about children. I love that passage in Matthew 18 where he talks to the kids and he gathers the kids all together. It's a wonderful story of the people trying to keep the kids away. And Jesus said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Just welcome the children as they come to us. And then the one last thing that I wanted to share was that no one blessed people the way Jesus blessed people. If you can recall, or if you have it on your phone, in Matthew chapter 5, here are the words that are repeated over and over and over again throughout this book. So Jesus does this teaching and talks about murder. He says, but you have heard it said, but I say to you. And all these scriptures, all the way through, all the way given. And at the end of it all, after all of his teaching, basically he offers us this prayer given to all.
So in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 7, ask, Jesus says, it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. In other words, never stop communicating with Jesus. It is remarkable. 2,000 years ago, people walked and talked with Jesus. 2,000 years later, not in the physical sense, but in our physical sense, we walk and talk to Jesus. It's not just words. When you receive a text from someone whom you love, and there are love words in that text, you don't go, oh, they're just words. No. The scripture is God's love story for us. And because it is a love story, he whispers to us. So share this love story to others. There's a reason why scripture is written. I write these things to you who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And my prayer for all of us today is that not only we are believers, but that we keep on believing by living the words of Jesus. Amen.
Welcome to the Lord's Supper. Do you know the psychological effect, the Dunning-Kruger effect? Has that come up before? It's a common tendency for some people to overestimate their competence in one or other areas. They may exhibit utmost confidence in areas in which they have little or no knowledge. This effect is known as the Dunning-Kruger effect. It was coined after two psychologists, David Dunning and Justin Kruger. It's a type of cognitive bias, whereby people with limited knowledge and competency in a specific area overestimate their ability. It's often unknown to the people involved. So if you were to graph this out, it would look something like this. Stage one would be, I know nothing about this subject. I don't have an opinion per se, and I don't really know my ability. Stage two would be, I know a little about this subject. I have a little bit of skill, a lot more than I did before when it was nothing. But now I am confident that I know more than most people on this subject or who have this skill. Stage three is, I've been exposed to actual expertise about this subject or skill. I now realize that I don't know nearly as much as I thought. Stage four is the good one. After significant research, practice, I now have a better understanding of the skill or ability, but also I have a healthy level of self-humility about my confidence in this subject or skill. People tend not to get to the point where they overestimate their confidence again. So the classic example used on this is a new chess player. This new player learns the basics of the game, has success against other casual chess players. But then they play a serious, seasoned player, and they quickly realize their confidence was misplaced. Have you noticed this effect at work with perhaps yourself or those around you? The internet. This effect is also at play in religious circles as well. Quoting from John 15, this is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers, such as branches. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, my word remains in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So our position in faith is like the last stage of the Dunning-Kruger effect. What does this passage tell us about our effective position in our salvation and our ministry? The entire effect, power, and meaning of our salvation and ministry is based on Christ, not me. My confidence in self in faith is entirely based on Christ and not my knowledge, skill set, or ability. And so we remember, celebrate, and recommit to Christ and his dedication to us this morning. But while our confidence is not in us or our ability in faith or in ministry, he does give us a role to play in faith and ministry. Continuing in John 15, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. As we remember Christ today, let us also remember that he calls us to a response, to love each other. In fact, in this text, he says this is the command that he gives us. As we partake of the symbols of his blood and his body, remembering his sacrifice, celebrating our salvation, welcoming his ministry that was done entirely by him and not by us, we are also, by doing this, committing to the act of loving each other. Let's pray. Dear Lord, this morning we come to you and we thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us. Your Son's broken body, your Son's blood that flowed for us. Lord, we are unworthy. We do not deserve this blessing. We do not deserve this sacrifice, and yet you have done it for us. You chose us. You came to us first. Lord, may we remember your Son this morning, his sacrifice, his life, in a manner that is worthy. May we be a people who have remembered. And Lord, may our actions after today and this remembering be one of love for each other, and be a people who look and act like we have remembered. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please join me in prayer. Father, as we leave this place or as we turn off our computers if we're watching online, may we honor you and adore you above all else. God, please reign in our lives. May we be pure, loving, and thankful. May we reflect your beauty to the world around us. God, please give us everything we need to be able to serve you and spread your gospel. God, when we put a barrier between us and you, please forgive us and remove that barrier so that we can once again be one with you. In Jesus' name, amen. And now if you're online, thank you so much for joining us. And if you're here, thank you so much for joining us. And as we leave, please start at the back, leave from the back, I guess, and make your exit outside. Thank you.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. If you would like to be part of the videos but aren't comfortable joining us in person, you can send us a video. Get in touch via email or on Facebook for more details. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. Scripture quotations marked GNT are from the Good News Translation in today's English version, second edition, copyright 1992 by American Bible Society. Used by permission. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.